In this episode, we're speaking to the amazing Kieran Bryan. Kieran, in his own word, was a part of his own environment with and had limiting beliefs around money, which were counterproductive in terms of his long-term prospects. This mentality led to a 25-year prison sentence. However, due to a paradigm shift initiated by education, he was able to unlock a millionaire mindset. This new mindset empowered him to achieve all this whilst in prison. He read over 250 books, gained first-class honors degree in business, organized several motivational events where he gave speeches, developed programs encouraging prisoners to use their time constructively, learned to forex trade, read all the books published before 2021 on blockchain technology, publish a book which teaches children how to play chess, and became the first person in the world to publish a book and sell the characters as NFTs and start an award-winning consultancy business. Started the What Box think tank and the business ecosystem, and is now employed by has now employed 10 people. Let's speak to Kieran and find out how he definitely changed his life by changing his mindset. Let's find out. Money Mindset with Girl Khan podcast will help you to break free from your limiting beliefs, reverse your money shame, and blast through your money blocks so that you can live a life of unlimited abundance. In this podcast, we will talk about energy tools and mindset strategies that will help you to understand and change your relationship with money, whether you're in a job, profession, or working on your passion. Change your relationship with money to change your life. I'm your host, Gul Khan. Let's get started. Welcome, welcome. This is Gul Khan, your money mindset expert. And today I'm really, really excited. We have an amazing individual named Kieran Bryan. Welcome, Kieran.
Hello, how are you?
Thank you so much. I'm doing well, Kieran. Kieran, everyone's heard your intro. They know how fabulous you are, but please, in your own words, tell everybody what it is that you do.
Right now, I'm a public speaker and entrepreneur, and I'm studying for my master's at Middlesex University.
Wonderful, wonderful. Now, Kieran, I know we connected on LinkedIn, and I was fascinated with your story. I think you were sharing, but being in somebody else's, and I realized you have such a unique story. I want you to share that with our audience. Tell everybody why I got fascinated with you. Talk us through, because you've had your fair share of struggles and you've overcome them so well. So please talk us through, how did your journey begin? Which environment did you grow up in? And how did you become an entrepreneur at such a young age?
I grew up in a lot of urban areas. So at one stage, I lived in Manchester. Then I lived in Birmingham. Then I lived in London and Hertfordshire.
Okay.
And
what was the reason for moving around so much?
My mum is, she just loves moving. She lives in Jamaica now.
Oh, okay.
So I wasn't aware of the fundamental reasons for moving at that time, because they was young ages, but I knew that she must like to move because we moved a lot. I'm sure there is more important reasons, but I haven't spoken to her about it. So I used to play football a lot and take it seriously at that age, eat, breathe and sleep football, secondary school age.
Okay.
And I played for a lot of high level teams, and someone innocently said to me, what do you want to be when you grow up? And I said, obviously a footballer. So they started laughing. It was two of my friend's parents. They started laughing. So I was like, but your son wants to be a footballer as well. Why are you laughing? So they were saying, obviously, we've got our own business and he's going to university and then eventually he's going to run the business. So he's got a backup plan if he doesn't make it in football, because right now every kid your age wants to be a footballer and you're all not going to make it. So you need to have a backup plan.
Okay.
Now I'm older. I understand what they was trying to say. But at that age, I interpreted it as I need a backup plan. And I was so naive at that age and the environment I grew up in. I thought if I didn't make it in football, I'm going to end up hustling on the streets because they're my only two options. I've mentioned this to a lot of people who grew up in different backgrounds, and some of them find it unbelievable that I would think that way. However, the demographic I'm from and the background I have, that is a normal way to think.
I
I know
agree. I agree. So
a lot of
I'm
people
gonna
now.
stop you there for a
Sorry,
second, because I
sorry.
grew up in similar background. So I
Yeah,
grew
yeah.
up in, you would say, East London. So London's
Yeah,
East
yeah.
London, in Waltham, if you're not familiar with Walthamstow, right?
Yeah, yeah,
That's
yeah.
where I grew up, right? And not in just in Walthamstow, which is now Highfly and da, 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 in the council estate of Marconi Estate, whatever, in East London, which they're, by the way, torn down now. They've got houses there. It was
It's
torn down.
gentrified. It's been gentrified.
It was a ghetto area. It was, yeah. So about 15 years ago, they tore it down and they've got new houses there and whatever. They've built it up because trust me, it needed to be built up. It was really, really a real ghetto area. And I know what you're talking about. So yes, I grew up in there, and I'm not the norm. I am the rare example. I did do very well some studies, and I went on to XYZ, but I saw, because my brother was part of the was similar to you, because maybe also because he was a boy, he grew up with similar people that you did, and their idea of being self-sufficient and having money is exactly what you probably were exposed to. I think with me, I saw him and I went the complete opposite direction, and I studied really, really hard. Yeah. But if you, I can understand him thinking the same thing, because he wanted money. He wanted to make sure that he had money to support himself. And this is what I want to say. Anybody who says, well, no, that's not true, I have experienced it firsthand, and I can say the thinking that you're mentioning is the norm. And that is very common thing. Okay, I need to have a backup plan. What can I do? How can I make money? And it goes on, and it's realistic to think that it happens more often than me. I'm the rare example.
Exactly that, exactly that. Because I found it very, very interesting to explain that to store to that story to people who couldn't comprehend it.
Yeah,
Like
because they haven't
they
been in that
literally
environment.
couldn't comprehend it. And I was like, it's still happening now. I know people who are rapping now, like trying to become successful musicians, that if they don't make it in music, they believe they're gonna go back to selling drugs and hustling, and they believe wholeheartedly that is their
The
only
only
option.
option. Only
So
option. I think this is something needs to be highlighted. So it's that lack of awareness that there are other options that you know now. That you can be an entrepreneur, you can do so many things. I mean, I promise you, the skill that's required to hustle with drugs and overcoming police and everything, the mindset required, the intelligence is required. You put that to good use, you can be amazing
Exactly,
entrepreneur.
exactly. And that is the realization that I came to eventually. However, at the time, I literally believed they was my only options. So what I ended up doing, which I'm very impressed with now, but at the time, it was nothing. What I'd done is I went to school, printed off some flyers for a football tournament, and £2 an entry, I think it was, seven players per a team. And the prize money was like 200 or £250. And this is maybe 2003, two, maybe, I'm just guessing, I don't know the exact date. So I printed off all the flyers, and then I made the excuse from Monday to Friday of reasons I needed to leave school early. And I got to the other schools just before they finished. So what I'll do is get to the school, hand out the flyers at that school on one day, the next day do a different school. And I've done that every day. I also went to one of my friends who worked in Tesco at the time and asked them, oh, can you get me some Coca-Cola cans and barbecue burgers and the disposable barbecues? Lend me the money. Well, but buy it and bring it to the youth club on Saturday. And then I'm going to give you whatever you spent, I'm going to give you double back. So I had a little time convincing them to do it, and then they done it in the end. And because my parents didn't really take me to football, I just didn't envision what happened, which was all the players came that I expected, but with their parents and their siblings, and the place was packed. So I've gone to the youth club, asked them, can I borrow the football goals? They said, yes, no problem. And so we borrowed the football goals. I got my friend's brother to referee. Obviously, it was kind of rich because at that age, I was playing football day in, day out, and I knew all the best players. So I was already thinking we're going to win the tournament. So we did win the tournament because we had all the best players. And obviously, I knew we was going to win anyway. And we got the money from the barbecue sales, burgers and drinks and all that kind of stuff. So had a lump sum there, and I ended up using that lump sum to buy my first load of drugs. But I didn't know I was so enterprising. I just thought, obviously, this is desperation. I'm in desperation. But when I told the story later on, is
Can
that's
you
when I
imagine
come
that?
to the realization that if I only, because even when I think about it now, I'm like, how come the youth club people didn't pull me aside and said, you arranged all this, you need to focus right away? But I remember they was too worried about insurance because they're like, we didn't know you meant to borrow it for this. Like when they came outside, they was in shock. So I guess everyone was processing what was happening differently. The parents probably think I didn't organize it. So there was no one to say what you just done.
Is amazing. I
Yeah,
think
and you should be able to leverage that and carry on in that way. Because I guess I could have just managed.
you're a born entrepreneur. That's basically what you are.
So started hustling in that
How old were
aspect.
you then? Can you just talk, tell me how old were you?
Maybe 14 or something like that. Maybe
Wow.
about
So a
14.
14-year-old pulled off something like that. Amazing. So,
And got,
and I want to highlight something else. You did all of that in order to have money to buy drugs.
And smart enough to pull it off, but not smart enough to know that if you was able to pull that off, you don't need to sell drugs. You can be successful somewhere else.
But for that, and now here's something that I want to highlight, okay? For that, you need to do a couple of things. Either be exposed to the right sort of books like Think and Grow Rich, Robert Kiyosaki's Rich Dad Poor Dad, etc. And in that environment, nobody would have access to those kind of books. It's very rare for you to have access to those books.
Of course, of
Or
course.
alternatively, a mentor, a teacher, a parent, an uncle or aunt or someone who can take you under your wing and their wing and mentor you and extract that out of you and make you realize that, oh my God, look how amazing you are. Look how amazing you are. Stop focusing on this. You can take those skills and focus on it. But I think what you just highlighted to me and everybody listening at the moment is how brilliant these young people are. And when you're talking, I'm remembering what the book, by the way, my brother went through the opposite, same thing as well. He's brilliant. He's brilliant as an entrepreneur. He makes a terrible employee, but he's a brilliant as an entrepreneur. But exactly, he thinks of the same things. He would think da, 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 da. And I remember thinking, oh my God, use like mine to something else. You look how far you'd get. But you didn't have that mentor. Neither did he, by the way. You didn't have that mentor or that support network to make you realize how special and gifted you are.
Oh,
And
thank
so
you.
you took the energy to the one thing you know was everybody else is doing drugs and they're making money. That's what I've been to do.
Exactly that. Exactly that. So after that, I was very methodical in how I was approaching the selling of drugs in that at that time. So I made progress in a short amount of time and ended up getting deeper and deeper into it. And it culminated with me going to jail for a shooting, and getting 25 years.
Wow. How old were you when you got into this and did you into this fight and whatever
So
and
when I got that sentence, I was 21, 22 years old.
when did the incident occur? How old were you then?
That got me the at the same age,
21. So at 21, you were now 7 years into your drugs entrepreneurship, and which was the logical conclusion to it, because that's where you'll end up. Everyone knows that they're in a crime doesn't pay for a reason. That so you end up behind bars for a gunfight, and got 25 years. Now, so how much of that did you serve, and how what happened then? What and how did you transform? How did this boy who went in thinking this is it? But who was ambitious? First of all, let's talk about this. When you got life, when you got 25 years, that is life. How did you feel and what happened? What was going on in your mind?
Okay, so it wasn't a life sentence, it was a straight sentence.
Was a straight
So,
25 years.
yeah. So, the difference is obviously if you get 25 years life, you have to apply for parole after 25 years.
Okay.
So, every year after 25 years, you're allowed to apply to be released, and there is no determinate period of time that they have to let you out. Do
Okay.
you get what I'm trying to say?
Yeah.
So, it depends on your behavior, etc., etc. And with a straight sentence, you get a release date.
Okay.
So I got the release date straight away. I ended up serving just under 13 years, and I was released about however long the end of September was, 2 3 months ago.
So you've been out for 2 3 months. So what, tell me what's happened since when you went inside, and how did that Karen change to the one, the
Okay,
gentleman standing in front of you?
so I was doing my sentence and I had no inclination to change. I was just thinking, I'm just going to get back to doing what I was doing. And it goes back to what you were saying about having access to certain books at that age would have helped me.
Yeah.
I actually was just chilling, watching TV one day, and I heard a joke that said, if you want to hide something from a man, put it in a book. And at the time, I hadn't read a book, and I found it so offensive, and I was so. It affected me so much because they was talking about me. I haven't read a book yet. So
Say that phrase again, if you want to hide something.
if you want to hide something from a black man, put it in a book. Have you never heard that
I've
phrase?
never heard that before. No.
Yeah. So it's like a popular joke that everyone's heard it before. That was the first time I heard it. And
And
obviously I know
that hit you hard because
that hit.
you weren't reading exactly.
Yeah, that hit me hard because they was talking, I was the butt of that joke.
Yeah.
So what I decided to do was to test the theory.
Okay.
So I thought, all right, let me see if they really know what they're talking about. Because everyone I know says it's a mystery who killed Tupac and Biggie. Because remember, I'm young.
Yeah.
So you gotta put it in context. I'm young. That's the only mystery I know about that no one knows. And based on that joke, if they're right, it will be in the books. And
Yeah.
sure enough, I read the books and everything that happened is in all the books, minute by minute, second by second. There's no mysteries. The only reason they believe it's a mystery is because
They haven't read the
it's that
books.
it's if they haven't read the books, and because it's unsolved in the police's eyes, it how the police talk about it, that means it must be a mystery. But in reality, it wasn't ideal for prosecution. This person died, that person passed away. Do you get what I'm trying to say? So
Yeah.
it was unprosecutable rather than unsolved.
I hope you are enjoying today's episode. If you want to learn more about my mindset strategies and energy tools to help you change your money mindset, then please register for my Abundance Mindset Makeover Workshop by visiting www.abundancemindsetmakeover.com. See you inside the workshop.
So I read about them, realized that their thing. I said, right, let me ch check it again. I read about JFK. So same, they know everything that happened. They know everything that was involved. They know the mafia, how the mafia was involved, how the CIA was involved, how they set up Lee Harvey Oswald. They know everything. It's
Oh,
in there.
definitely, yeah.
It's not a mystery. It's just in the books. So after that gave me like a reading bug. So I got a bug for reading. So I started reading about all of the people in history that I keep hearing their names, but I don't know why I keep hearing their names. So Napoleon, Genghis Khan, Marcus Garvey, Hannibal, Alexander the Great, Nelson Mandela, everyone you can think about. I was reading as much as I could get hold of about these different names in history that I kept hearing. I read a lot about Black history. That helped me a lot. In terms of, I might as well say how they helped me as I go. In terms of reading about the people from history, that helped me with my confidence. In terms of, I imagine the scale in my head, and at the top of the scale, we've got the president of the UN, for example, and at the bottom of the scale, you've got someone who was born poor in a poor country. And I'm reading about people all of the time who are coming from this place, poor in a poor country, and get into this place, equivalent to president of the UN, for example. So over and over, I'm reading stories after story after story. And I came to the realization that where I am, which is poor in a rich country, being born poor in a rich country, and where I want to go to, a successful business entrepreneur, is a little distance to travel compared to
Well,
all of the people who I've read about who have traveled that distance over and over again. So that gave me confidence straight away. Like, I'm able to go from there to there. If they're able to go from there to there, different stories, different parts of the world, different circumstances, but they're able to travel that bigger distance than me over and over again, I thought that gave me confidence. So I started reading Black history as well. And what that did is that a lot of people, as you would know, from my demographic, from my background, my environment, have inferiority complex, but they wouldn't even know what inferiority complex is. So how I interpreted my education before reading Black history was that they went to Africa and everyone was uncivilized, cannibals, and
I want to
unorganized.
stop here for a second. That's the image, that propaganda that is still being pushed in the Western media, that anything which wasn't European, or and that between, because Europe, remember, European became America, the white supremacy became America, became Australia, became obviously UK as well. Everything was
Exactly.
uncivilized, but that's not the case. But, the richest man ever lived was a black man. Ever lived was a black man.
So that's the exact point in that I interpret that education in a way that just they was uncivilized, they were unorganized, they were cannibals. We enslaved them. Once we enslaved them, as the Europeans, I'm talking, after a few hundred years, after learning from us how to be
They became
civilized, they
civilized.
became civilized. And once we realized they were civilized, we let them go. So that's how I interpreted the education I got. And all of the everything I'm exposed to confirms that stereotype. So any movies, cartoons I'm watching,
100%, 100%.
it all confirms
Movies,
that.
books, even mainstream books that we are exposed to in schools, it goes. And images, the images we have of Africa or even Arab world is in old clothing, traditional clothing, barely and skin exposed. Well, it's not what you see powerful leaders, but these people who
Exactly
are
that.
poor, in
Exactly
poverty,
that.
and in, or
And I'm sure you can imagine me and myself reading some of these things and looking around like, oh, does anyone else know this? So, and then obviously everyone else does know it. It's just I didn't know it. And
Your demographic doesn't know it. That's the thing. So educated black and brown people do know it. It's just your demographic, which is, the blacks and brown boys mostly don't know it.
Don't know it and couldn't even comprehend most of the things in there. So what that did was, because obviously I'm telling you now in hindsight my journey, but I didn't know these concepts at the time, such as inferiority complex. But a lot of my demographic, they have something against that 9 to 5 culture and just working, and that is the inferiority complex. They understand they've got to start at the bottom and work their way up. But they think starting at the bottom and having someone tell you, go clean that toilet, for example, or go do that, you try to not put yourself in that situation because you know that as soon as they say that to you, the whole history of slavery is going to come down on you, on your thing, and you subconsciously you're going to interpret that as, oh, I'm back in that same place. So what we tend to do is try to shy away from that, and that's why the roads are so appealing. That's why hustling and that, I'm my own boss, I'm doing it for myself, I'm start. Do you
Oh
get what
my
I'm trying to
God.
say?
Oh my God. That is so insightful, Kieran. I have to pause you and say that is so insightful. That's probably one of the best explanations of why a lot of black and a lot of brown people are adverse to, the 9 to 5s. There are now, there are people, that's why they get so many black and brown people who are entrepreneurs, because they don't want that. I get, oh my God.
And that's the exact reason. And the worst thing about it, you don't know that's the reason. I had to study to know, okay, that's the feeling I had at work experience, for example. So I understood it at a deeper level because I lived it, and now I'm learning the concepts that are influencing my behavior. So I read about that. Then I started reading about motivational books, self-help books. So in the end, I ended up reading over 250 books, all non-fiction. And I started to read about different concepts that experts talk about, and what and everything I'm telling you revolves around confidence and giving me like unprecedented confidence. For example, like I read someone who's considered a genius saying that if any human read everything ever written about a pen nib, they would be able to innovate the pen nib to make it better. So if any human read every piece of writing written about a pen nib, that human would be able to innovate it, and everyone would call him a genius. So once I understood that concept, I said, okay, so even a genius is saying this. You're not a born genius. It's about the information you obtain on a subject that people would call you a genius. So all of them things that I was reading about was giving me just confidence after confidence after confidence. And couple that with most of this is in the category A prison. So most people are doing the 30 rec life sentences that you was talking about. Most people are doing them sentences, and these are name brand criminals, for lack of a better word, is that these are infamous criminals who
Criminals,
their name holds weight. And for me to be telling them certain things and them finding it unbelievable, there's no way you've done that. It's impossible. When I thought these are the people who would believe it straight away because they've lived it, been there, done it. So that was giving me confidence as well, because they were saying you could not achieve that. That it's impossible for you to have done what you're telling us you've done, but I actually really done it. So that was giving me a lot of confidence as well. So if you couple all of them things together, then I decided to do my degree. So I started my degree,
And
and again,
this is all in the prison, right?
this is all in prison. So started my degree and started doing a business degree, and I had to do an access course because I had no evidence of studying that level. So you've got to prove you can study at that level. And again, I was very methodical in it, and I came up with a system where I would just go through the question of the assignment and look at how many points it offers. So for example, they might say there's 20 points offered for that question. You're awarded 20 points if you get it right. And I would break it down and realize, okay, so there's four subject matters that they want you to talk about. So that means each subject matter must be allocated five points. So then I thought, okay, well, that means I've got to make that they've got to have five places to mark each subject matter. And I ended up doing it in a methodical way and getting a distinction. And I made the decision getting distinctions in my assignments. And then I made the decision straight away, I'm going to get a distinction overall, which I did end up getting. But obviously, that's coming from a place where I had to overcome some self-imposed barriers, where I used to tell myself, oh, I'm not good at academic work. I'm not a class guy. I'm not built for university. They're all self-imposed barriers. No one put them barriers there. I've been telling myself that and believing it as if it was gospel, when really it was nonsense. So once I realized that and I was getting grades and stuff, I wanted to share that with other prisoners. So I ended up working for education and being in charge of organizing motivational events for
Oh,
the prison.
inside the prison, yeah?
Yep. So I
How,
would
just give me
organize.
a rough idea. How old are you now? So how old would you be around this
35.
age?
I'm
You're 30.
35.
No,
And
when you were doing this, so go back in. So when
also,
you were,
when I'm so everything I'm telling you about is going on through the whole sentence, and I really started this maybe two, 3 years into the sentence. So I'm 24, 25.
So when you start your degree, you're 24, 25, and then that's when you start the motivational thing as well.
Yep. So, but a little bit after. So I started my degree first. Then after a bit, I was carrying on reading. Then I started doing the motivational events and stuff like that. So I started doing the motivational events, and in that capacity, I would ask the prison to invite in different organizations to give a talk, and I would also give a speech. And in the speech, I would talk about all the people I read about, and that the thing they had in common was they all were described as good orators. And at the time, I didn't know what that meant, so I had to go research what that meant, which is good at public speaking. So I would let the prisoners know the reason I'm giving a speech now is because of this. I've read that, and I need to practice that because I want to be successful. And that's what they say successful people have in common. So then I will talk about overcoming self-imposed barriers. Then I will talk about the 10,000 hours principle in terms of it takes 10,000 hours to master a skill or become an expert on a subject. That's what all the motivational books that I've read say. And we have a long time to do in prison. So you could now take the opportunity to, for example, become a world expert on soil rejuvenation, computer coding, electric car batteries. So these are some of the examples I would give them and say to them, if you utilized your time well and became a world expert on one of these subjects or whatever you are interested in, when you are released, yes, we do have that where someone doesn't want to give you a job because you've been to prison, for example. And the reason they don't want to give you the job is because they think you might nick £20 out of the till, for example. If you are released and you're a world expert who's read over 100 books on soil rejuvenation, for example, and they need you in Saudi Arabia, they're not going to care you've been to prison. They want your expertise over here at the price that you will set.
And you've shown your dedication to your subject matter by putting in the hours. So, and rather than actually taking the short route, you spent the time learning about your craft, and that speaks volumes.
And if you, for example, done that without getting a formal qualification, it doesn't matter, because what happens is that you will be picking up esoteric knowledge and jargon that only people in that industry would know. And once you're around them, they will know straight away whether you have read 100 books on soil rejuvenation. Because if you lot was to hear someone talk about selling drugs and he's never sold drugs, you would hear his mistakes straight away, instantly. Like, so that's how it works in that world. So don't worry about, so this is, I'm just redoing my speech. That's what I used to talk about on the speeches. And I made a lot of good connections there in that capacity, inviting different organizations in. And I was getting closer to release. So once I knew I was being released in a few months, I started to contact the different organizations that I had links to. A guy called Lord Hastings was coming in to do his own motivational speeches at the same thing. So I met him as well. And I connected with all of them and asked them for them to organize different motivation events for me to attend. I organized different places where I would also give a speech. I organized a motivation event that the date was when I'm already been released, but I would come back and participate in that. So that's how I was able to open up so many different opportunities. And now it looks like I hit the ground running and that I've had a shortcut, when in reality, I haven't had a shortcut. It only looks like I've had a shortcut because everything's happening so fast and I've only been out for a couple months and I've done like 30 different events. I've been back to about four prisons to give speeches at and different kind of stuff like that. So people are ringing me like, oh, what's the shortcut? I'm getting out soon. I need to hit the road running, like how you've hit the road running. But I'm like, that's because you used to watch me go into to my cell with a stack of books that high, coming back from the library, and you used to watch me studying for my degree every single day. This is the result of that work that I put in then. So it looks like a shortcut to you because I got out, but you watched
Six,
me put in the work.
there are no shortcuts to success. There is no such thing as a free lunch. I really believe that. You pay the price either way, either through hard work and dedication or through lack of it. And so it's simple as that. There is, life is very, I think life is fair. Even those times when you think it's not fair, it's teaching you a lesson that you need at that moment in time. So on that note, just we're going to wrap this up because we do need to wrap this up now. So that's how
Cool.
you started becoming a speaker 2 or 3 months out, because I remember I saw you
Yeah.
about, a couple of months ago, and I was like fascinated with your story. And I thought, it's because I think you resonated with me so much, because I see my brother in you and my brother's friends in you. My brother was lucky. He started off that way, but by the time he was in 19, I think my mother's prayers and whatever else really worked. I mean, he went back. He did his A. He did his GCSEs, by the way, and then he did his A levels. Then he went and did degree. So he came. So, in case he's listening, he did really well. So I'm not saying he wasn't like this for the longest time, but he started off when he was 10, 11, 12. So he could have ended up in behind bars. And a lot of his
Of
friends
course.
did, and they have, they've got. I mean, he still has sort of contact with some of them, but these people have done drugs. They've done, they've been shootings. They've gone. My cousins has gone in for something like that. Two of my cousins actually. One of them went in for a GBH and God knows what else. And so I know these boys, and they're good boys, but they have no solid male role model to teach them otherwise. And they're all there, and they're. Whereas my brother's now working, and he's trying, and we've got business together, and we are working. These boys are still stuck in the rut where they're trying to find a shortcut to money, shortcut to money, not thinking they are so. Then they're so clever, and they can put their minds to something worthwhile and actually be success at it, but they need that motivation. They need that someone to support them. Whereas I think you were very, very, you're a chosen one. So I won't call you lucky. I think you created your own luck, but I think you have been chosen by the universe, and you were guided to the right direction. I think
Oh, thank you. I
that was
appreciate
your.
that.
And I
Thank
really
you.
want to commend you. I think I knew this.
Thank
This
you.
I was looking
Thank you.
forward to this podcast, because I knew it was going to be fascinating, and you've literally lived up to my expectations.
Oh,
You
thank
are
you. Thank
an
you. I'm glad.
inspiration.
And thank you for the opportunity so much as well.
I really want to go out saying, I didn't do this as a favor. I know for a fact, I knew that I could tell because I'm quite intuitive. I knew that you'd be amazing. And you've proven that, because you can go from the slumps and you can go to the top. And I want to highlight a few things that happened to you as a money mindset coach. One of the biggest things we need to do is build that self-belief. And you build that self-belief by reading those books about people who were there, who came out top. And if they can do it, we can do it. This is why one of the things that everyone talks about is reading biographies of people, these amazing people, because it teaches you how normal people did extraordinary things, how you can also be extraordinary. That's the first thing. And then everything in your life led you down a path which shaped you to be this amazing public speaker, this amazing
Thank you, thank
motivation
you,
person. So
thank you,
well done, Kieran. You
thank
are
you,
an
thank you
amazing.
so much.
Oh, we have to have
Thank
you
you.
back for money talkies, because I think we need to get some inspiration talk from you too. But for today, thank you so much. I mean, now tell me, Kieran, where can we connect with you? How can we find you on the internet?
So I'm on LinkedIn as Kieran Bryan. I'm on the Instagram as the Mountain of Dreams Project.
Wonderful. So if you are listening to us on the podcast, the links for Kieran will be in the show notes. And if you're watching on YouTube, down below in the description section, we will have the links for you to go and connect with Kieran. I highly recommend it. I connected with him on LinkedIn, and I'm so glad I did. And it was literally watching a post of somebody else. I read it, connected with him, started speaking to him, and I thought, yeah, I want him on my podcast. And I'm so glad. So we'll
Thank
have you
you.
back on
Thank
Money
you so much.
Talkies, but thank you so much for being a guest today, Kieran.
Okay, bye. Thank you. Thank you so much for listening.
And thank you for listening to me and Kieran today on a Friday Features. I will be back with another amazing guest, finding out how they truly changed their life by changing their mindset. And Kieran is a prime example of that. So we will find another amazing guest who changed their life by changing their mindset. Until the next time we meet, this is Gul Khan signing off. Take care and bye for now. If you want to learn more about my energy tools and mindset strategies, then please visit my website, www.gulkhan.com. And if you want to take part in our 5-day abundance mindset makeover workshop, where I deep dive into energy tools for abundance, then please go to www.abundancemindsetmakeover.com and register. I look forward to being your mentor in the next workshop. And if you want to learn about the spiritual laws of money, then go and get my book, Laws of Money, from www.lawsofmoney.com. Until the next time we meet, this is Gul Khan signing off. Take care and bye for now.